Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read. Did I take you by surprise again?
It's always surprising because we're so like, kind of like mellow before we start. Yeah. You jump in with so much enthusiasm.
I'm trying to engage the listener.
Hey man, this is Poorly Read.
Hi guys.
Hey guys. See, because I had a drink last night and I was shouting a lot, I have a slightly like lower register today.
I feel like I don't know. I think mine is where it normally is.
So I can talk like this now.
Dude.
I wonder if my Snape voice would be like extra deep, like,
hello, Severus Snape.
Does that sound deeper than usual?
I don't think so.
About the same. Oh, that's not good, is it?
That's no fun.
So what are we talking about today?
Today,
Harry Potter by any chance?
Well, he is. Going to talk about episodes, chapters. I have real trouble with the words episodes and chapters. I know the difference.
I know the difference, I swear. Yeah.
Chapters 13 and 14 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
So what is chapter 13 called?
It's called Gryffindor versus Ravenclaw.
This is what I'm going to say. The next couple of chapters, they're all named very basic and unimaginative names.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's two of them that are named for a Quidditch match.
Yeah, I fucking hated that. And it's like in Chamber of Secrets, there was chapters that even though I didn't like them, at least they were imaginative. They were like The Very Secret Diary or whatever the other ones were called. Yeah,
that's literally the only one that we talked about.
For everything in this, she could have named this chapter anything.
Mm.
She could have named it. She could have just named it Owl Post again.
You're determined for there to be more than one episode called Owl Post.
Yeah. Right. So start of this chapter. Oh, because what was the last episode we did? It was ended with Ron thinks that Scabbers has been killed by Crookshanks, right?
Yeah, bringing down his bloody bedsheets as evidence.
Yeah.
Which is just enough of a joke in itself.
Yeah, and I haven't got the brain power today try and make a joke around it. So.
Well, we've had a little break from recording.
Yeah, it's been 6 years since we recorded last.
But luckily, we recorded enough episodes in advance to just keep it going.
Tom
for those 6 years.
Tom has a child now.
Yeah.
Started his second year of school. Yeah, so at the start of this one, Ron and Hermione have stopped talking.
Yeah, they've properly fallen out. And to be fair, if I was Ron, I think I'd be pretty pissed off too.
Yeah, I would actually, because your pet has been killed.
Yeah, and like he's been saying to Hermione for ages, like, your cat is clearly trying to kill my rat, which it clearly is. Yeah. And she just has given so little of a shit, and now all evidence points to it has eaten the rat, and Hermione still doesn't give a shit. So yeah, I'd be pretty much like, all right, well, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah, I think she should have, because she didn't even apologize, did
no.
she? She just said, well, he's probably just doing what Crookshanks does, right? Or something. That's sort of been her like statement throughout this. And she should have just said, look, I'm sorry, mate. I don't know what to do. I bought a cat and now I regret it. But a cat is for life, not just for Yule.
is that a bit close to home for you?
Guys, don't get pets. They're a drain on your resources.
Yeah.
So Harry has a match coming up soon.
Yeah, and they have a great Quidditch practice.
Yes.
Yeah, and Oliver Wood's super happy.
I mean, with a name like that, you would be, right?
Yeah.
That's such a crap joke. I hate myself for making it.
Well, I was trying to get somewhere with Wood and being super happy and like, yeah, because he's got Wood.
Harry Wood happy. How can I use these words to form anal rape in my head?
I was thinking more just an excited erection joke. You know, straight for the anal rape. It's always the way with you, isn't it?
What's the name of my punk band? We don't get booked for many shows, but... Yeah, fucking Wood loves Harry's Firebolt.
Yeah.
We're such children.
I know, we're just... Once we slip into innuendo brain, we just can't say anything.
I know. Oh, God. And what I was really surprised about is that Harry lets Ron have a go on his Firebolt.
Yeah, well, you said you I would be fine with it, I think.
Yeah, maybe I'm just sort of assuming that everyone... like sort of things like in the way that I do. I can't imagine letting someone ride my like that, because this is the first time that Harry's ridden it.
Yeah.
And so to let your mate ride something that expensive like just after you've ridden it, I would feel too like nervous to let him do it, especially when I sort of know he's not an amazing flyer.
Yeah, I suppose so, but like, what's he gonna do?
Just say no.
No, I mean, what's Ron going to do?
Oh.
Fly into the Whomping Willow?
That's what I would be scared of.
I guess that's what happened to his Nimbus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, not Ron didn't fly.
I'd be scared that Ron would be flying him and turn around to be like, Harry, look at me! And then just crash into the fucking tree. What would you do? But he does, and
but
Ron
I feel like
it.
There would be an understanding that, like, you know, be careful and don't do anything stupid because it's real expensive.
I mean, there should be, but that's a lot to assume, especially when you're, what, like 13 and you're both boys.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I would trust Hermione maybe to ride it, just because I know that she's overly cautious anyway.
Mm.
But even then, not on the first day. I just don't think I, no, do you know what, full stop, I wouldn't let anyone ride it. I'd be like, no, sorry.
I think I would feel like that would be too damaging to a friendship.
I mean, okay, put it this way. I feel right. So if me and you got a Firebolt and this was a real scenario, I feel like if I said I don't think so, people would be like, that's gifting. They wouldn't be, that would just, they know that's part and parcel of like my character. So maybe if you said
maybe.
No,
they'd in the
be
same like, way, in the same way you say no to being invited to things sometimes just because you don't want to go.
Yeah.
But like a lot of people said that. People know it's just part of like you, your whole deal. But in general, if I said that, I think that would be a bit like,
I think they'd
abrasive.
Be like, oh, that's so like unlike Tom.
Yeah.
So it would
so
seem
I must
out
have pissed
character.
Him off somewhere.
Yeah, it would seem out of character for you.
Yeah. Whereas if you've got a carefully cultivated persona.
It's okay, I make up for it in other ways.
Tell us what those ways are.
I'd rather not. Anyway. More importantly, though, Hooch is impressed by the broom. She's never seen anything like it.
Yeah, she goes off on one about all the different brooms she's had fun on.
She's... She's like, oh yes, I remember the summer of 1867.
Yeah, I was broken in on a silver arrow.
It was fine though, because I'd previously broken my hindman on what was then just called the clean sweep one. So yeah, they're all there having their practice. Ron has his go, and then they start making their way back to the castle. And Harry's like, what the fuck is that over there?
Quote.
And Harry is so sure he sees the Grim.
Yeah, he sees a kind of glimmering pair of eyes in the darkness, right?
And then he sort of does like a double take, and then he sees Crookshanks there, but he can't see the black shape anymore. But he's still convinced that something is amiss.
Yes.
And he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
Which really, that is Harry throughout the books. Harry's not wrong.
But... No. Well...
Apart from when he is...
He's wrong about some grand things, but he's never... Yeah. He's rarely wrong when he senses that something is amiss.
His hunches are usually correct.
Yeah.
Alas.
His hunches about what to investigate.
Yeah. Apart from that time where he thought Sirius was really in the Department of Mysteries. It turns out he wasn't.
Oh, yeah. That's Voldemort playing up to Harry's hunches.
And as a direct result of that, Sirius died. And it was all Harry's fault, no matter what anyone told him.
And I hope that one day I can meet him so I can tell him that.
Shouting after him down the street. Yeah. Harry.
Killed your godfather.
And then he turns around and he's like, what? What? And I'm like, oh, mate, no, 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 mate, I didn't say it. So the next day is the Quidditch match and Gryffindor plays Ravenclaw. And this is the first time we meet Miss Cho Chang.
Yes, it is.
And the match starts, as it always does. And this really fucking bugs me, right? My question is, why does McGonagall let Lee commentate if she's always angry at him for everything he says?
Yeah, I know. Like, I was thinking that as well. And she apparently you can hear McGonagall's like interjections over the megaphone yeah. as well.
Jordan!
Yeah. yeah. Sorry, Professor.
It's like, oh, I'm just saying facts, Professor. And she's like, if you can't stick to blah, 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 then I'll find someone else. It's like, well, you obviously wouldn't because he does this every fucking time.
Yeah, he obviously can't stick to whatever.
yeah. She fucking loves it, really.
Yeah.
I bet she actually gives him a script of what to say before they go out. And then he says it. She's like, Jordan, he's like, you fucking told me.
No, her bits are on the script as well.
<She's>
like,
yeah.
So then I'll come in here. They'll rehearse it like a little double act.
Jordan and McGonagall. Oh god, I just imagine him sitting on her lap. He's got like a pencil like mustache on. She's got his hand, her hand up the back of his jumper.
It's just making him call the Slytherin's cheats and then going, Jordan, commentate on the match.
Then he's like, what? It's what you want me to say, Professor. Yeah, and basically the big thing that happens is that Dementors appear on the pitch.
Ooh, yeah, again. After a little bit of broomstick flirting.
I zoned out for the actual match playing.
Yeah.
I was like, listening to Quidditch matches is the most boring thing in the fucking world.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's the Quidditch final in that I think we'll cover next episode that kind of does a somewhat good job of building up the tension throughout the match. Yeah, this one, I can't really remember much about what happens, only in that Harry's darting after the snitch at one point and Cho like flies up and gets in his way because she knows she can't like beat him to the snitch. So he has to like pull up and stop. And Wood's like, it's no time to be a gentleman, Harry. Knock her off a broom if you need to. And Harry and Cho, you know, exchanging little sly winks and smiles and probably making gestures with the end of their broomstick.
Just like gliding out to each other, just like hitting the ends of their brooms together. Letting those sparks fly.
Yeah.
Oh, do you think all brooms are the same colour? I mean, obviously, they might be different based on the type of wood, but do you think they're, like, painted different colours and stuff? Because I know they are in the movies.
Yeah.
But I'd like it if they were in the books.
Yeah, yeah, you could paint them all sorts. You could, you know, paint them, like, green and sparkly.
I'd love that. I'd paint mine black and sparkly.
Yeah.
And I'd put, like, a load of glitter on the back so when I flew, all glitter come out the end.
And at halftime, just, like, topping up all the glitter in the bristles.
God, that'd be so, I want that to be real now. Alas.
You spell out words in the sky with it.
Oh my god, yeah. What would I spell out though?
Spice.
I so fucking would as well. And everyone would be like, what the fuck are they? And I'm like, guys, it's like 1998. Like, the biggest news story of the year is that Jerry left. Like. So Dementors appear on pitch. Harry manages to conjure his first proper Patronus.
Yeah, sends it down to those Dementors.
Do we see it's a stag at this point?
I don't think so. I don't think it's mentioned. Okay. I think it's just a silvery shape comes out the end of Harry's wand. Then Lupin comments at how impressively formed it was.
Do you think anyone's Patronus is just a giant sperm?
I mean, it's not really an animal.
I mean, it's not an animal.
It's an animal cell.
Yeah, but so is an amoeba.
Isn't an amoeba built up of multiple cells? No. I don't have a great understanding of what an amoeba is.
No, amoeba's a single cell.
Oh, is it?
That's why when you call someone a fucking idiot, you call them like an amoeba.
Yeah. Well, is an amoeba an animal? It's more of a bacteria, isn't it?
Yeah, but still a living thing.
Yeah, but can a Patronus be any living thing? Like, can it be a plant?
No, I don't think it can be. And so he creates the Patronus, and it's really big, and it fights off the Dementors. I don't know why I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah.
And then Harry catches the snitch.
Yeah.
And the game ends, as it always does.
Yep.
And turns out the Dementors are not Dementors after all.
No.
They're Malfoy and co.
Yeah. It's Malfoy.
Yeah, it's not the usual Malfoy and co. It's Malfoy, Zabini.
Yeah. And the what, the Marcus Flint.
That's it, yeah. Wait, who's Zabini?
I don't know.
He's another Slytherin though, isn't he?
Yeah. But, and I think it said Malfoy was on Crabbe or Goyle's shoulders. But I think only one of Crabbe or Goyle was there. So yeah, I don't know where the
other one was. And it's Marcus Flint.
Yeah.
So it's those three. I wonder why the other Crabbe or Goyle wasn't there.
Yeah, don't know.
So yeah, that happens. And McGee is not happy.
No, she is not. She takes 50 points away from Slytherin. Which, I mean, is that a fair amount? It's not 50 points each, I don't think.
I think it should be more.
Oh, yeah?
That's a really sick joke, I think they pulled.
It is, yeah.
I mean, Dementors are not something to make fun of.
No. We certainly never have.
No, and if any Dementor comes around here asking, I'll tell them I've always treated them with the utmost respect.
But yeah, I don't know how they thought they would get away with it. I don't know how they thought they wouldn't get caught and punished.
It's like, it reminded me, do you know that scene in Jaws where they see the shark fin and it turns out to be those two kids that have like strapped like a styrofoam fin to their back? And but sure. I was Tom's never seen Jaws, the first blockbuster.
I have seen Jaws.
He hasn't seen Jaws. But yeah, the boat pulls up and then they see the kids with the thing and the other one's like, he made me do it to his friend. I'm like, that's not funny. Kids have been dying from shark attacks and you do that?
Yeah.
Also, you guys are fucking idiots for getting in the water.
Yeah.
Like, oh, everyone in that film's a fucking... anyway. So to celebrate their momentous win, Gryffindor has a party.
Party.
Do you think that the like common room parties are actually any good?
Where would music come from?
Well, in the movie, the wireless plays like top 40 radio. I remember that. Oh, what were they called? The Ordinary Boys. Do you remember that band? And they had that song that went, "Boys Will Be Boys." That one.
Yeah.
It was like, I think the guy who made that song, he was in Big Celebrity Big Brother that
Preston?
Year. Preston. Yes, yeah. And that was the song on the like on the wireless in maybe film 5, I think, when they were having like a party in the common room.
Oh.
And I was like, that's not possible.
No.
I mean, obviously it's possible. It's a working radio. But I mean, like, it's not.
Why is it even a wireless?
Because, I don't know. I guess because everything's got to look like it's from the 50s, right?
Yeah. I mean, if it's going to be a muggle thing, why not make it the current muggle thing that's way better?
Because I guess, because Wizards are always doing things so far behind, and anything they do have that's like kind of muggle-ish is they've sort of adapted it magically.
Yeah.
And it's always tends to be like about 30, 40 years out of date, it seems. Yeah. Right? So it must just be like following the trend, because they always have a wireless in the books. Like when Mrs. Weasley, like she listens to the radio, it's the wireless.
Hmm.
Like proper like old-timey one as well. Yeah, they should just have a digital radio, but then obviously it wouldn't work because electricity can't work because too much magic in the air.
Yeah.
Why don't you just cast a fucking spell so that it can work? How about that?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. So you can fucking split your soul into 7 bits and put them inside objects, but you can't make a fucking radio work.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off.
But then it would only play like muggle music. I mean, yeah, it must just be a magic.
Wizard music sucks.
I mean,
you just know it does. Although, and I say this, so they have like a, do you know Celestina Warbeck in the books?
I've heard, vaguely.
She's Mrs. Weasley's favourite singer, but they have a real life one at the Orlando Resort in the Wizarding World, and her songs are fucking dope. They're all like jazzy numbers, but they're so like, her song like, "You Stole My Cauldron," like, "You stole my cauldron, my something, something, something hat, you... They flew off with my memories, then disappeared like a vampire bat." And it's like, okay, I'm on board with this.
God.
It's really good.
Of course, they only sing about, like,
wizardy shit.
Yeah. Like, nothing about just, like, general human condition.
Yeah, it's not like, "Oh, you broke my heart because you slept with my sister." It's like,
which, as we know, is what all of our muggle songs are about.
Yeah, Yeah, that's what that Celine Dion song's about. You know, my heart will go on.
Oh, because you, despite yeah. the fact you yeah. slept with my sister.
You slept with my sister. And I know, because I walked in on you both. Like, ew. And I didn't leave right away. Well, that's the worst bit of this whole story, Celine.
Oh, it God. Turns out Shaggy's It Wasn't Me is just a response song to that.
Oh God, that's so awful. Anyway, don't fuck anyone's sister.
Anyone's sister. If they have a sister.
Yeah. Do you hear me, Harry? Oh my God. So Gryffindor's having a fucking party, right? And Hermione is being such a douche, and she's in the corner reading her Muggle Studies book because she needs to study. And I'm like, of all the nights that you could have taken off, it would be that one. You don't need to read a Muggle Studies book. What are you possibly going to learn?
Yeah.
That you haven't lived for the first 11 years of your life? Tell me. Tell me, Tom.
I can't tell you, mate.
It angered me so much.
So they have a party at the end of this match and then at the end of the final in two chapters' time?
I think they have a party whenever they fucking can.
So then we get...
Are you going to talk about what McGonagall's wearing?
I wasn't going to, no. But please go ahead.
So the party goes on till 1 a.m. and McGonagall shows up. And I don't know why I love this so much, but she shows up in a tartan dressing gown. And this, like, I love this so much. I love that even when no one's going to be looking at her, she still has to have that little, like, bit of a tartan flush about her. Yeah. Just like... I don't know, it just made me so happy. But then I also imagined, like, what does she look like when she's just in her robes? Do you think it's like a tartan dressing gown, but it's one of those really, like, sexy, like, 1950s, like, ones that have, like, the feathers on the bottom and stuff?
Yeah, definitely.
She showed up, like, got no underwear on at all, just that pinned on. And everyone's like, oh, is it cold outside, McGonagall?
Shortbread time.
Yeah, she's like, it's 1 a.m. We don't know what that means.
Yeah, no, oh.
To go and form a line. Take a little shortbread. And everyone's like, no, don't sing the song. She's like, no, take a little shortbread. Oh, God.
Horrendous abuse.
Yeah, fucking hell. McGonagall should not be allowed. And neither should this podcast. So they all go to bed. And then what happens?
We get a little dream sequence.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. Harry is dreaming that he's chasing a silvery thing through a forest.
I totally missed that.
Yeah. And then Harry is awoken from this dream. I think he's sort of just about catching up to this silvery thing he's chasing through the forest. To Ron screaming, or to some screaming.
Yeah. Stephen Fry does a magnificent scream. And by magnificent, I mean shit. He does like the, oh! And I'm like, no one makes that kind of exclamation.
How
it should be like blood curdling. I know, I won't do it now because your neighbours will think you're like neighbouring. Your neighbours will think you're neighbouring me. That's what I call murder. Man, she got neighboured.
Doesn't just mean I'm just forcing you to live next door to me.
He keeps bringing me cups of sugar. Yeah. But yeah, Ron fucking screaming his lungs out.
Yeah, and he's like, Sirius Black. He was standing over me with big nut, and everyone was like, Ron,
it's a dream, mate.
You were dreaming. And he was like, nah.
Yeah, how does he convince them? Is it because the curtains are all in shreds?
The curtains have been ripped off, yeah.
Right, okay. That seems unnecessary.
Yeah, just pull the curtains back.
Yeah.
It's a lot more noisy and disturbing to rip curtains down.
Just slip your hand through holding the knife and just stab indiscriminately.
Jay Gifton's online course now.
Online course in neighbouring. Okay. So that's a big calamity. And Percy shows up, obviously, because they take Ron downstairs and everyone's sort of been awakened by the hysteria.
Mm.
And Percy shows up and it's really pissing me off. Percy pins his head boy badge to his pajamas so that everyone knows that he's the one in charge.
Well, it's a very Percy move, isn't
it? I just think, fuck off. I'd be so ashamed to have him as a son.
Mm. Well, I tend to think fuck off about everything that Percy does, though.
Yeah.
He's just pompous idiot.
He's the worst person, and I don't get how he ended up like that, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of weird to think about how people who are raised in the same household by the same people can end up so different.
That is weird, isn't it?
Mm.
I would love to read, like, a sociological study on, like, say, households where people went on to be, like, very different things and stuff, and what the effect of, like, your environment, how much your environment can affect your character and personality.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine it's an ongoing field of study.
Yeah. How peculiar. So, yeah, Percy does that, and he's a cunt for doing it.
Yeah.
And McGonagall comes and she's like, what the fuck is going on here? You're making so much noise.
I gave you all enough shortbread.
Yeah. You should all be exhausted. And very dab. And then they're like, Ron saw Sirius Black. And McGonagall was like, I don't think so.
Yeah. Which like, is, no, like, a lot of the time when students claim things in Hogwarts and just in general, like, I don't know. In general storytelling, yeah. There seems to be a lot of, like, incredulity, I guess.
It's weird, isn't it?
And I don't think that's, like, super outside the realms of... I feel like it's quite irresponsible of her to just dismiss it as nonsense before, like...
Especially considering that they know he's got inside the castle already.
Yeah, and tried to get into Gryffindor common room already.
Yeah, it's... But she tends to do this throughout the book, just not believe the person.
Yeah.
Even when it sort of works out to Harry's advantage, she just doesn't believe what students tell her.
Mm.
I guess that's like a very old-timey teacher way of thinking. You just don't believe.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate. But yeah, like, I don't know how they convince her. What do they do?
Don't know. Maybe Ron just monologues at her for a bit.
Okay. And then I think she's like, well, how the fuck did he get in here then?
Oh, they go and ask... Cadogan.
That's it. Yeah, Ron's like, if you don't believe me, ask him. And then he points to the back of the portrait and he's like, he will know if someone came in here.
Yeah.
Then they go and ask him and she's like, did you see anyone?
Did you let in a man? Man to the
Did
room?
You let in Gary Oldman?
Certainly, my lady.
One of our finest actors. Yeah. But yeah, he says that basically. And yeah, then he's like, how did he get in without a password? And he's like, he had them! Whole week's worth! And then McGonagall's like, right, who the fuck wrote a list of all the passwords? And Neville puts up his hand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Neville!
What?
Oh, God. Yeah, you know he got punished fucking severely for that. He probably was a eunuch after that night, I imagine. Yeah. So that brings us nicely onto chapter 14.
Yeah, Snape's grudge.
Fudge grudge. What? Don't know.
Don't. It's a word that rhymes with grudge. Smudge.
I was going to say smudge. Are there any other words?
Don't know.
Smudge, fudge, grudge.
Cudgel.
That's a stretch, I think. Budge,
yep. This is good content.
I would like this if I was a kid. We'll think of more. Okay, if I think of any more as we go on, I'll...
Pudge. Nudge. Did we say nudge?
Nudge, that's a good one, yeah. Vudge. That's how you say it in Scandinavia. Yeah. So yeah, security tightens, of course. It tightens to the point where it should have been at the very start of the year.
Yeah.
It's like...
Or at the very least, after Sirius Black slashed at the portrait.
Oh, God, yeah. It shouldn't take this much. It shouldn't take a student almost getting stabbed in his bed for them to take it seriously.
Yeah, agree. Strong agree. But Ron's kind of loving it the next day.
Oh, yeah.
He's all, like, telling the story, like, to anyone who'll listen and probably enjoying some of the limelight after having been sidelined for 3 years being friends with Harry Potter.
Yeah. And I, for some reason, I thought that the story got more fantastical as it went on. But I think in later books, when Ron has stories to tell, that happens. He just keeps on, like, adding bits on so it sounds more and more impressive. I know he definitely does it when he has to talk about being taken down to the bottom of the lake for the challenge in book four.
Right, yeah.
Every time he retells it, it gets more and more dramatic. And then Hermione at one point says, oh, no, you were asleep the whole time, Ron.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that happens, and Neville gets banned from all future Hogsmeade visits and from having passwords.
Oh, yeah, and he has to just wait outside the portrait hole with the new security guard trolls until someone can come and let him in.
I mean, I think that's kind of fair, to be honest. He was very irresponsible, but it's their fault for fucking putting Sir Cadogan in that portrait.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's not super realistic to expect every student to remember passwords if they change twice a day.
Yeah, it's actually ridiculous.
Yeah.
What they should have done is just put, like, anything there and maybe had it so that the portrait only recognises Gryffindor students and then let them in.
Facial recognition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But magic.
Yeah. I'm sure that's doable.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Or maybe if they all just, like... It only recognises, like, Gryffindor wands, so you have to stick your wand in, like, the keyhole and then it opens or something.
Yeah, although it's more of a security, because, I mean, like, it's possible to Expelliarmus someone and...
Yeah, but you can also just, like, overhear their password.
Yeah, but if we're talking about tighter security, recognising them for the person, like, with their
face.
Yeah,
but you could use Polyjuice Potion as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That takes... Polyjuice Potion's a difficult thing, and that takes some serious, like, crafting and intent and planning. Whereas, like, I feel like you could find someone's wand or, like... I mean, people don't just leave them lying around, I guess, but, like, there's...
Yeah, I guess so. But you could say the same about house keys and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, true.
I think that would be, like, I feel just, like, outside of the Sirius Black situation, I feel like if they had to have something there, there was a better things they could have done than get a really fucking unreliable knight.
Yeah.
To stand guard.
But wasn't he the only one that would take the post because he was like.
Yeah, that's
brave.
What I mean. They could have just not had a painting and had a different way of getting into the. Like the other common rooms don't have paintings.
Yeah, but they're like, yeah, well, we've got this system now. this is the Gryffindor entrance gimmick. So we need to stick with it.
I would maybe a better, like, what I would maybe expect from Gryffindor is that you had to fight like a suit of armor to get into your common room. Because, like, the Ravenclaw one, you've got to answer, a riddle before you can be let in.
Yeah. Is it the same riddle, like, in the way it's the same different. Password for a term?
I think it's a different question every time. Because when, in book seven, when Luna takes Harry up, it's one question. And then when McGonagall arrives afterwards, it's a different question. And it asks her.
So that's got to happen. So either it knows which students have been and just... it can ask the same question to different students... And it knows when that same student is coming for a second time and so asks that student a new question, or which is a lot of questions for it to have, or it just asks a new question every time a student approaches the door.
I think it's that.
It's got thousands upon thousands every year.
Yeah.
Wow. That's magic for you.
I mean, if they can fucking have, like, that many questions in a game of Trivial Pursuit, I'm sure a fucking doorknob can, you know?
Yeah, but every year... I mean, for a student to be there 7 years...
Yeah.
And for every time any student goes through that door, it's got to be on a 7-year cycle of the amount of students that come in and out.
Yeah,
it's more than a Trivial Pursuit game, I think. Also, they're not riddles; they're general knowledge.
No, because one of them, the one he asks,
Trivial Pursuit isn't.
Oh,
riddles.
Sorry. I'm sure it asks like normal questions as well.
God,
I just feel
so,
like for the book, she'd had to make it like riddly and poetic.
Yeah.
Because one of the questions, the question asked McGonagall is, where do vanished objects go? And then she goes, they go into nothing, which in turn means they then become part of everything. And then the doorknob goes, well answered, and then opens the door. And it's like, fuck off.
Yeah, indeed.
What if I just got in from a night out and I couldn't fucking answer your fucking question?
You're like fumbling with your house keys at the
keyhole. Yeah. So where do vanish objects go? I don't fucking know. Just let me in because I'm going to be sick. Yeah. just a quick question about Neville being banned from Hogsmeade. Do you think he never got to go again while he was at school?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure he did.
Because he gets banned for life. Well, we get banned from all future Hogsmeade visits. So I don't know if she was like, she kept that going until...
Wow. I feel like the start of each book is like the start of a new like cartoon episode where everything just like goes back
yeah,
to normal.
Resets. Yeah. Okay, I'll go with that.
And Neville gets a howler.
Yeah,
and they tell him to run out of the Great Hall, and he only gets as far as like the entrance hall, and they can sort of hear it.
Oh god!
And they get Harry and Ron get a letter from Hagrid.
Yeah,
just saying like,
oh my god, that really fired me.
That happens because <they're... laughs> is it worth explaining what just happened?
Yeah, go on.
So the hooks on the back of my door that our coats are hung on are just like stuck on because I rent a flat and can't drill into the door. And one of them just fell down with, I think, my dressing gown on it. And it frightened Gifton and he made a mess again. But that happens like in the middle of the night sometimes.
How do you not scream? Oh my god.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, maybe just get a drawer to put your coats in instead. Or a hamper.
Limited space.
Maybe just don't have coats. Just be cold.
Yes, like it.
Yeah, so Hagrid writes him a letter being like, look, Hermione's really fucking lonely. She's been coming down here crying her eyes out.
Yeah. When they go down there to his hut.
Oh, sorry. I thought you wrote that in the letter.
No, I think he invites him down to his hut and then he says, look, Hermione's a good egg, stop being a dick.
Yeah. Like, there's only so much consoling I can do.
Yeah.
You know.
Before it starts getting...
weird. I mean, she did let me draw a sketch of her.
Yeah, I didn't
know. Well, he was a bit unsure of how much I could ask her to remove. Yeah. So he said, all right, if you take off your bra, you can put this tea towel across you. And I like your woolly Gryffindor and knickers. You can keep them on.
But then at some point, I've got Hermione tries to convince Harry not to go to Hogsmeade. Because he said...
So they go back up and then Ron's like, look, I'm going to go to Hogsmeade, mate. And he's like, I'll join you. And then Hermione like overhears and she's like, Harry, I don't think you should because it's serious. If you do, I'm going to tell McGonagall about the map. And then Ron spins on her and goes, haven't you done enough damage this year?
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, son, you're savage. And also correct.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's like, again, I get what her intention is, but like, I'm telling McGonagall about the map. Oh, don't be a bitch. Can
right?
you not see how awesome that map is?
Yeah, like, it's the best thing it's the best thing I think he ever owns throughout the book.
Marauder's map invisibility cloak combo is pretty...
pretty swish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would I rather a Firebolt or the Marauder's map?
Oh, I would go Marauder's map, definitely, yeah. Because I wouldn't be too fussed about playing Quidditch, I don't think. I know
I've
been too
sporty.
You
do have things on the broom.
Yeah, but I could have any broom. It's like, I wouldn't, if it was...
That's true.
Where you couldn't,
That's
there's
true,
no other
yeah.
Marauder's map, like...
Yeah, okay, I'd go with that. I wish the Marauder's map, you could, like, you could make it have the blueprints of whichever establishment you wanted.
I'm sure you could make one for other establishments.
Yeah, that's long. I'd rather just like touch the map and ask for like the ministry and then the ministry appears and tells you everyone that something. That'd be cool.
Whoa. Yeah,
that'd be very useful.
So if you're doing it for the Ministry of Magic, suddenly becomes like very illegal.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Like it's real hacker shit.
Oh, I guess so. Okay. So Harry joins Ron in Hogsmeade under the invisibility cloak.
Yeah, I'm going to bring the invisibility cloak this time. You should have brought it last time.
Yeah, you should always have it on you.
Yeah.
He could, like, Well, it's quite thin, isn't it? Because he always says it feels like water, but like not. So it must be quite thin.
Yeah,
so it must be quite foldable.
I would try and find some sort of permanent solution to, like, inside my normal cloak, try and sew a little like pouch.
Yeah, well, why don't they have like school bags? They do have bags. Yeah. Because Harry makes Cedric's split, so all his books fall out in book four. But you don't ever hear them having bags.
No, they have bags when it's convenient.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I don't know. I think that would be, there's a chance that someone could rummage in my bag. Like, I think I would want it on my person, but also not to be making a part of myself invisible. I would try and, because it's like a long-term thing that I'm always going to have on me, I think I would try and fashion something in my normal clothes as a way to store it.
Yeah, maybe he could make sort of like a vest cape thing and then just wear that under his robe. So the robes would be on top of the invisibility cloak. So he could just disrobe and be invisible.
Ooh.
That would be good.
And then just pull the hood over up on, yeah, the, on the cloak.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be so weird. Imagine you just being fully clothed. Then you just like look down your shirt and there's just nothing.
That'd be horrible.
That'd be super weird.
Maybe you could like sew it like underneath his skin or something. Not sew it, but maybe like make the cloak like become part of him.
And then he can never remove it.
Yeah, but then he can maybe like find a way to like activate it like whenever.
Maybe. I would like that. Could you manipulate a Deathly Hallow that way though?
Maybe if it was like some old magic like fusion spell. So he sort of put the cloak, like, if he wrapped himself up like a cocoon and then done a spell to sort of make, like, fuse it with himself.
That'd be, yeah. Cool.
But then maybe that would go horribly wrong and he would just be invisible. But then he has to, like, paint himself on every day.
It's extensive makeup.
Yeah. Oh, God. So anyway, they go to Hogsmeade, they do the usual shit, and then they...
Yeah, the Harry has to shake Neville.
Shake Neville?
Yeah, because he's on his way to the statue and Neville finds him and is like, oh, Harry, hey, I can't go to Hogsmeade either.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What do you want to do? And Harry's like, oh, I was just on my way to the library because I need to do an essay. And Neville's like, oh, great, I haven't done it either. I'll come with you. And Harry's, I was just... And he eventually loses him. They go back up to the common room and Harry's like, oh, I'll be back in a second. I'll join you. I left the thing in the library and runs off and gets rid of him.
See, this is why you should just say no, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Harry, do you want to go to the library? No, I don't. I would rather sit on a knife and spend any time with you if I don't have to, Neville.
And can you not just turn that theme music off?
He's not got a friend. He's driving him around the bend. It's Neville.
There it is. Da, da, da.
Oh, God. Yeah, so after he shakes Neville, he hightails it to the witch, jumps down her back, and then and then makes his way into Hogsmeade.
Yeah.
Do they go to Honeydukes and stuff, or do they just go straight to the...
I don't think so. I think Ron mentions that he didn't get to go to Zonko's last time, so maybe they go there.
Okay. So they somehow end up at the Shrieking Shack, not at it, but they sort of get to like the edge of a clearing where they can see it across the way. And Malfoy sort of appears and starts on Ron and he says like, oh, this is better than any house you ever have or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Something shitty about his house, which, you know, whatever. And then Harry chucks a snowball at Malfoy and Malfoy's like, what the fuck?
It's mud.
Oh, is it?
It's just mud and slime.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry. No, I literally, the film and the book have just become one for me. And then this goes on for a little while, but then Harry, the cloak slips and Harry's head is revealed.
Yeah, after he fucks with them for a little bit, yeah, making them chase shadows back and forth and throwing piles of mud and slime at them.
Yeah.
Crab or Goyle or something steps on the hem of his cloak.
That's
and
it, yeah.
Pulls it off his head. And so his head's floating there for a second and he makes eye contact with Malfoy.
Yeah. And Malfoy's like, and Harry's like, fuck, 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 fuck. Yeah,
he runs back down the passage just going, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yes, he sort of gets back into the school a little bit after Malfoy has. Which I thought, it's bizarre that Malfoy could get back quicker than Harry, even though Harry surely has a more direct route.
I did think that, but then maybe Malfoy were going back in, they go in like carriages, don't they?
Oh, do they? I don't think they do. I think they walk down to Hogsmeade.
Do they?
Yeah, because like the carriage, say when they get the carriages from the station, I think the station's not by Hogsmeade Village, per se.
Oh,
so maybe
maybe I've just invented that then, but I feel like the first time when Harry doesn't go is like they all go off and get into carriages that will take them to Hogsmeade. Maybe that's a scene I've invented because I can't actually think of much specific about that.
I don't think they do because in the other books, when they've had to go from Hogsmeade to the castle, it's never seemed like much of a mission. Like they just walk. As far as I know, it's never taken them a long time to do it. And Harry, the long bit for Harry is going down from the Honeydukes because there was, 200-300 stairs.
Yeah, he's got to get down.
And then he's got...
Under the lake? Or am I thinking of the Chamber of Secrets thing?
And then he's got to go. So that's like the long bit. But even so, there's less like obstacles in Harry's way.
Yeah.
And Harry gets right into the castle. He hasn't got to go through the gates or anything like that. So I just thought it was a bit weird.
Yeah, I did wonder how, because it even says, like, Harry knew that Malfoy would get back to the castle before him.
It's like, how?
So I wasn't sure how, I guess, I don't know, the overground.
So if Harry's in the Invisibility, because they're Dementors. I was going to say, if Harry's in the Invisibility Cloak, why can't he just walk up to the castle? But then, yes, because the Dementors are there.
Mm.
Yeah, so he gets back, and does he bump into Snape when he leaves the cloak at the bottom of the witch?
Yeah, and then emerges from the witch and like almost immediately hears footsteps and Snape comes around the corner.
Yeah, because he leaves the cloak there because he knows that if he gets caught and they find the invisibility cloak on him, then he's done.
Oh, and that was it. We missed a thing earlier when the first time Harry approached the statue earlier when he got caught by Neville, Snape finds him first and is like, what are you doing? Hanging around here.
Yeah.
Harry's like, I'm not hanging around here. I'm just here on the way to, the library or whatever. Yeah. And then, that's it. And then Harry just makes an excuse and like has to hide around the corner.
Yeah.
And waits for Snape to go away. And then when he sees on the map that Snape's back in his office, then he comes around the corner, back around the corner. Right, and then he gets caught by Neville. But he knows Snape's like suspicious of the statue.
That's weird. Yeah. I mean, why would Snape be suspicious of the statue?
Yeah, I don't know, but I guess he's got pretty keen senses for things.
I guess so. He bumps into Snape because Harry's like, Harry just says whatever, and the Snape's like, you know, blah, 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 you think you own this castle, you're just like your father, you just strut around this place, blah, blah, blah. Then Harry's like, my father didn't strut, and neither do I. And Snape's like, you didn't fucking know your dad, so shut up.
Yeah. But yeah, so Snape's super suspicious because he's caught him hanging out by this statue again.
And then he discovers the map.
Yeah, he's like, turn out your pockets. And then, he brings him to, I don't know, he brings him somewhere to his office or something. Yeah, he brings him to his office.
Yeah.
And he goes, if you don't need this old bit of parchment, I'll just
throw it in the fire. Away. And Harry's like, no! Yeah. Ron's like, ha ha! Ron's like, ha ha! I mean, Ron would probably be like, ha-ha, too, but yeah. Snape's like, ha-ha. And he's like, well, so it must be something then. And then Snape tries to make it do things.
Yeah. Awful, terrible thing. This is Professor Severus Snape, master of this school, commands you to reveal your secret or something like that.
I remember thinking, who the fuck does Snape think he is?
Yeah.
Master of the school. You're a master of shit.
No. Like, you're master of potions.
Yeah, you're a master beta. And
the map starts talking. Burning him.
Does it?
Yeah. Gives him sick burns.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant like burning.
No, not burning as in the, Urban Dictionary burning.
Yeah, Tom was using slang. and they all have like nice characterful voices.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they say, but like I remember the Wormtail's voice like, and then Mr. Wormtail kind advises Mr. Severus Snape to keep his abnormally large nose out of other people's business. It's like, fuck off. You didn't need different voices for all the fucking things, Mr. Fry.
No.
Just another thing. Just another way he finds to ruin my life. Right, so this is a big deal for me.
What, the voices?
No, just doing this podcast. No, so this is a big deal for me because this is another example, right? This happens a lot in this book where the the timeline of the book and the timeline of the film are radically different. And you'll notice it when you watch the film again. You'll be like, this happens so, not in a bad way, but it happens so arse about face, all the like events of things. So in the movie, this whole bit is Harry staying up late at night and he sees Peter Pettigrew on the map. And after he's heard about, so it's after the bit in the where he's heard them talk about Peter Pettigrew and Sirius. And then he's like, wait, hold on, but Pettigrew's meant to be dead. So he gets up looking around the castle at night for Peter Pettigrew, and Peter Pettigrew comes towards him on the map and then goes past him, and he's like, what the fuck?
I do remember that bit.
Then Snape appears and is like, turn out your pockets, what is that? Blah, blah, blah. And then does the whole thing with the thing. Another massive difference is that Harry doesn't get his firebolt until the end of the film, not at the beginning, not like halfway through, like in the book.
What does he play Quidditch matches on?
He doesn't play Quidditch again. He just gets his broom broke, and then that's the end of it. And then we don't see him do Quidditch again.
What?
Yeah, because he gets his broom at the end as like the gift from Sirius. So sort of instead of getting like a letter from Sirius to go to Hogsmeade, he gets his broom on the last day of last day of term. And it's like there's like other things that I'll point out as we go, but it's all sort of mixed up, and that doesn't happen again for the other films. It's just a bit like, huh, okay.
Well, look forward to us drilling down into that in our movie episode.
Yeah, I can't wait. Lupin comes and then he leaves his office and goes to find Harry. It's like, sorry, Harry, I just wanted to get in a good gisting before I came to help.
And Snape's all like, this is clearly full of dark magic, Lupin. You're the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. Do you sort it out? And Lupin's all like quite dismissive. He's like,
yeah, it's just a Zonko's joke, man.
Yeah, but Harry thinks he can see Lupin sort of deep in thought.
Yeah.
And Snape mentions, where do you think Harry could have got it from? Possibly directly from the manufacturers.
I thought that was weird. So I'm like, okay, so he knows who Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot and Prongs are then.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because I would have assumed that those nicknames were only used among those four in private.
Yeah.
But I guess not. Yeah, then Lupin confiscates the map. I can't remember why. Does he say, look, this is dangerous and the people who created it would have wanted to get you in trouble or wanted to put you in danger, so it's best that you don't have it? He says something like that, but I don't know if that's why he confiscates it.
Yeah, well, he takes Harry back to his office.
Yeah, closes the door, locks it.
Yeah. I know I just finished myself up, but I've got round two in me if you have.
Yeah. I've got a few dribbles left.
Oh, God. Wolfy dribbles. He basically says,
I call it moonshine. Oh, God.
Oh, that's it. Ron bursts in as well.
Yeah, he's like, fucking hell, Harry. I didn't know you liked it like that. Yeah.
And he's like, I bought in that stuff from Zonko's ages ago.
Yeah.
Because Ron and Harry are just on a level, and he knew.
I love that. Yeah. Like, if only we all had a friend that just knew when to come to our rescue with the perfectly formed excuse.
Yeah, exactly. Lupin takes the boys away and is like, I'm not interested in how you got hold of this map, Harry. And yes, I know it's a map, but I'm disappointed that you didn't, you know, think about the danger it could put you in and stuff like that. And Harry leaves feeling all scorned and butthurt that Lupin was disappointed in him.
What is that phrase? Like, what? I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know. What is it, a proper thing from old timey language or something?
Oh, no, it's an internet thing.
Oh.
From when, I don't know, someone writes it's like in the comments, like if someone takes offense to something that someone says. You know how you just can't win on the internet?
Yeah.
If you try and take something actually seriously, you just get trolled.
Yeah.
And the one who's trying to take it seriously is butthurt because they're all like offended.
So is it like B-U-T-T?
Yeah.
Okay. So that happens. They fuck off again. And then Hermione comes up and Ron's like, ugh. And then Hermione's like, I just wanted to let you guys know that Buckbeak lost his case. And everyone's like, oh, shit, son.
Yep.
And that's the end of it.
That's the end of chapter 14.
Yeah, and that's the end of this episode.
Indeed.
So you can all fuck off. this episode's a fine.
Come back next week.
Yeah, come back next week and the weeks after that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I would love if it got to like Christmas time and people like decided to play Polly Red out loud around their family Christmas dinner instead of putting on like the Queen's Speech, they put on Polly Red.
Oh, I don't think that would go well.
I would love it so much. I would love there to be such like a cunt of like a son that is like, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this on at fucking 12 o'clock in the afternoon and let fucking Auntie F4 hear exactly what I like.
And all the little nieces and nephews.
Yeah. Oh, God. So yeah, check us out on Instagram at PaulieRedPod. Email us in things at paulieredd@gmail.com. If you've got any observations, any corrections, any feelings that you want to share, email us. And please rate and review us on the Apple Podcast app, as it does wonders for our
self-esteem.
So yeah, I've been Gifton.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid, baby.